Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Recently, I've been doing something that I haven't really done very much in my life, is I've gone to one of my grandchildren's baseball game. And I want to tell you this story because it's kind of fascinating, and it brings us right to where the message is, and the message is really about you. For those of you who don't know this, when I was young, I was a professional baseball player. That's what I did for a living, was play baseball until I was 20 years old, actually 19, and signed a professional contract with what in those days were called the Kansas City Athletics. You know them better as the Oakland Athletics. I only, if you will, played in the minor leagues, even though they brought me up at the end of the season, and I would pitch batting practice in the stadiums with the team as in town and all that kind of stuff, but I never really had a shot with the big leagues. I really couldn't have a shot with the big leagues because I had a problem. I was a pitcher, and I stood about 6'5". I know I've shrunk over the years in my 70s. I'm really starting to shrink, but I stood about 6'5", weighed about 240 pounds, and now I'm a lot more than that and a whole lot shorter than that. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I find myself at my grandson's baseball game, and I'm just fascinated. In these games, everything starts to come back to me. All the years and years and years of hard work, learning the game, understanding the game as a pitcher, I would size up batters and look at them and see how they were going to swing and where they swung and how they swung the bat in order to pitch the right ball to them in order so they didn't hit it, you know. I played with guys in the spring training, like maybe some of you that are older might know Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris, and played with guys like John Drysdale and Sandy Koufax, you know, famous world, famous people in the Hall of Fame. And I wouldn't trade my position as a pastor for all of their rewards that they had gotten over the years. I love what God had planned for me this different. There's four things that I needed as a pitcher. And I was watching these young boys play ball on my grandson's team. And I was watching this one pitcher, and he had a pretty good fastball, but he gave away his curveball. I could pick it up every time. Every time he threw the fastball, I knew it was a fastball because he lifted his leg just to a right certain height. When he threw his curveball, his leg didn't go quite up as high as it normally did. So if you know that in advance, then you know what's coming. And as a hitter, you can really pop the ball and really get him. And I'm just sitting there watching. These are things that these young boys are learning how to deal with. One of the things that I couldn't do well is I didn't have a strong enough and fast enough fastball. I wasn't fast enough. My pitch was good, and it was quick, but it wasn't fast enough, and it moved, it sank. When I threw my fastball sank, and a fastball is thrown in this kind of rotation, and the ball rotates like this in, and then it will sink. There's another pitch called curve. A curve is that you would throw with the exact same motion as a fastball, so no one knew that the curve was coming. And it was a ball that went out and it rotated in the opposite direction. The only difference between your pitching style at the moment you start your windup would be the one flick of the wrist at the last second, and nobody could pick it up. By the time they picked that up, the ball would be by them and they'd be out. And so the four things you really needed in my day to play professional major league baseball was that you needed a fast fastball, a great curveball, a great changeup. That means the ball is slowed down about 30, 40% slower than your fastball. And then you needed a good slider. I didn't have a slider. I had a great changeup, great curveball, and didn't have the fastball. So everybody knew I was not gonna go very far, and I didn't. I played pro ball for about 3 years. But I learned the game and I love the game. The purpose of a curveball, which I was excellent at, is that a ball would come at you with the same momentum, it seemed like, as the fastball, but as you picked up, it would either drop or it would slide away from you quite a ways because of the rotation of the ball. And the ball would come at you for a number of reasons, just to get you off stride. Because when you're in the plate and a guy keeps fouling the ball and it keeps going straight back, fouling the ball, keeps going straight back, fouling the ball, keeps going straight back, that guy's got your timing, and it won't be very long before he adjusts his swing, and he won't be hitting the ball straight back, he'll hit it straight forward. And so you know that the timing is very important. And to knock his timing off, you throw him off-speed pitches, pitches that are different than your fastball. You'd throw a slow ball, or what we call a changeup. And then you would throw, if you will, a slider or a curveball. My curveball was an excellent. It was a big league, major league curveball. It would just drop off of the table. It'd come at you like a fastball and drop, man. It would drop 2 feet. And it was just no problem throwing a great curveball. If I could control it, who knows how far I could have gone. And I was thinking about sitting there watching these young boys, how a curveball is constantly being thrown at the body of Christ. A lot of people can't hit a curveball. They can hit a straight ball or a fastball. They can even hit a changeup that's coming in. Or they can hit sometimes that slider that just moves just a little bit away, different than the fastball. They can hit those, bang, and hit them, and they're gone because they can see that. A curveball is a very difficult ball to hit because it comes in, and again, you think it's a fastball, and it's coming in at the right level, and you're getting ready to go, and by the time you're changing this thing's dropping in front of you. There was a guy named Sandy Koufax. I'm telling you, when he threw a curveball, he was a world famous, you can look it up, one of the greatest left-handed pitchers in the history of the sport. And when Sandy threw a curveball, it was like it rolled on the tabletop and then hit the edge of the table and went straight down. It was like bizarre. And then when he threw his 100-mile-an-hour fastball, it would come in and jump about a foot. So he had the fastball that jumped and the curveball that dropped. Why am I saying all of this? In life, the devil wants to throw you numerous curveballs to get you off balance, to get your rhythm and get you to do something different than what you should be doing. Because if I could get a hitter to get off of his rhythm, if I could get a hitter to get off of his balance, if I could get a hitter to get out of his own confidence and become insecure, I can get him to make a bad swing that will cause him to be out. It's the exact same principle with you and I in life. The devil, the world, wants to throw you curveballs. Now, a lot of times we don't think about it very much, but a baseball player could be in the batting box ready to bat and have as many as 3 or 4 curveballs thrown to him at one time at bat. If he's up 3 or 4 times during a game, he could have 10 or 12 curveballs thrown at him in the time of a game. In life, life is always going to throw you a curveball, especially you that are Christians. Now you say, well, Pastor, aren't we all Christians? We're in here. No, there's some of you that are not yet Christians, but you're going to become Christians before the night's over with. But let me say this to you. Those of you that are real Christians, a curveball will be thrown to you numerous times during the day, the month, the year. You will wonder over and over again in your walk with Jesus throughout the time that you are alive on this planet, God, what are you doing? Why did this happen to me? My goodness, God, I go to church, I tithe, I'm trying to make the changes, I listen to the pastor, I clap my hands, I'm even telling my kids and my family, and then here comes the curveball. And I want you to know that it's not God throwing you a curveball. It could be the world, it could be satanic principles, it could be your opposition in any way, trying to get your stride off. Because if your stride isn't stopped, if your confidence isn't put down, if your philosophy and your timing isn't set, you will be an out easy for the devil. And that's what we see oftentimes with Christians. They have a lot of problems coming at them, and they just don't know how to handle them. I've seen people in church for 20 years, and when something horrible happens, and there's a lot of horrible things that happen, and I'm not trying to say you'll never have a problem. I know there's times when there are horrible things happening in people's lives, and they'll be in church like 20 years, And the first thing that comes out of their mouth, God, why me? What's going on? And they challenge God. And that's what a curveball does. A curveball tries to get you to do something different than what you have already been doing. Because if you stay hitting that ball backwards, fouling it off, your timing will finally get to the place where you're going to hit it straight. And so he throws you curveballs constantly, trying to get you off balance, trying to get you out of stride and keep you from being what God has called you to be. Sometimes because we're ignorant, we fail to understand how to deal with these curveballs. So I've entitled this message. Would you have it up for me? And I love this, adjusting to life's curveball. For all of us that are in here, you as a Christian, not just as a non-Christian, especially you that are in stride with God, you that have a confidence level in God, you that are doing the right thing on the right way with God, there's got to be curveballs thrown at you, get you off a stride and get you out. Are you following me? And I love what the scripture says because he tells us these things all the way through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is it okay if we just go to the Bible tonight and see what God says about how, listen to this, to adjust your life to these curveballs that are going to be coming your way? Why? Because you want to stay in there until you hit the home run. Is anybody listening? Because nobody needs to be knocked out of the box. Is anybody listening to what I'm talking about? So it's important for us to see these things. Go with me, if you will. I'm going to start off with a wonderful psalm. Remember last time we were together, it was Psalms 23. This time I'm taking you to Psalms 91. Here we find the writer of Psalms 91 making a statement. A lot of times what we do as Christians, watch this, is we'll read the statement that's being said, never thinking about why it's being said. For an example, notice how in the beginning it says these words. It says, he, three words, who dwells. He who dwells means anybody that is in God. And staying in God and living in God and abiding in God. Not somebody who comes and goes here and there and down, you know, here today and gone to Maui tomorrow. I'm talking about people who stay in with God. I'm talking about people who live in God. That's their life. And that's who he's writing to right here. He's not just writing to the general audience of readers. And he makes a statement. Now watch the statement. He says, he who dwells in a secret place of the Most High. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, he who dwells in a secret place of the Most High, I gotta know what the secret place is. Because if in anything else, I wanna know because I wanna see if I can get to that secret place. Why? Because life is throwing me these curveballs all the time. There's some of you in here have lost spouses and some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost jobs and husbands and wives. Some of you have been betrayed and life's been down and a curveball has been thrown in your life to try to knock you out. Some of you had lousy moms and lousy dads and you had this curveball thrown at you when you were innocent, didn't even know any different, just to keep you from being all that God would have you to be. But I'm here to tell you something. He, anybody that he is an anybody, that's a you. It's all of us. He who dwells. And then it comes and says, we live in this secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, I don't know about you, but man, I when this curveball's thrown, I need God to protect me. When I'm down and hurting on the inside, and don't think because I'm a pastor, I don't hurt. I mean, some of the most devastating times of my whole life as well. I'd been pastoring these last 40 years of devastation. I didn't know how I was doing. God, how can this happen? I just got through preaching 5 times last weekend for you, and now this is happening. It collapsing in front of me. What's going on? Why, Lord? All because I didn't understand what you're going to learn tonight about that curveball and how to adjust to it. So it doesn't take you out, but you take it out. Is anybody listening? No. What? Listen to this. Shall abide in the shadows of the Almighty. Verse number 2 comes along and makes a brilliant statement. And it says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him I will trust. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the pestilence. Verse number 4 says it like this. He shall not be. And I love these words. He shall cover you with his feathers. Verse number 4. And then he says, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Wait a minute. You're looking for somebody to shield you. You're looking for somebody to get you out of that curveball position that's knocking you off stride, getting you to a place. You're looking for some situation. And it says, listen to this, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. He did not say, I'll deliver you from the problem and you'll never have problems again. He did not say that if you become a Christian, life's going to be wonderful. He says these words, that you will know something that's different that'll protect you and will hold you up and strengthen you, and that's his truth. How do you get that? Well, it starts with you finding a dwelling place, not in yourself and not in this world and not in what people say and not what politicians tell you, but in him. And when you finally get into that place, then verse 5, it says, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night nor the arrow that flies by day. Stop right there. Why is he saying that? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, because there's curveballs coming. He wouldn't say that if everything was going to be good. He wouldn't say that if everything was going to be hunky-dory. He wouldn't say that if you're never going to have a problem. He says that so that when the problems come, you are able to understand that you're no different. You can win this battle because your truth, his truth is made your truth in his shield and buckler. And he says, you shall not be afraid. Verse number 6 comes on and says, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000, verse 7 says, may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only your eyes you shall see and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made, and I love this word, you have made. Wait a minute. We say to God, God, make me. God is saying, you have to make it. I'll back what you do. This is not just what getting me to do something. This is about getting you to do something. And he says, you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even to the Most High in the dwelling place. Verse number 10, no evil shall befall. See the word befall right there? No evil shall knock you down. That's what that means. Because you know how to handle the curveballs that are going to be thrown at you to get you off stride, get you out of balance, and get you not to adjust properly in life. And so no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. Because why? You've learned something, obviously. Now, let's take a look at this. That's Old Testament. Let's take a look at it in the New Testament. And it's really a fascinating understanding in the New Testament because it says all of this in one sentence. But it's really cool. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, if you will, in the 10th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. And when he's writing this to the church at Corinth, man, don't make a mistake that he doesn't understand what he's talking about. He is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, it is really God speaking. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13 says these words. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to come back and explain the verse to you. Is that okay? Because we're talking about how life is going to throw you curveballs. You need to know what the curveball is and what the purpose of the curveball is so that you can apply the right strategy to keep yourself balanced and live a successful, prosperous life. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful and who will not allow you to be tempted. Remember, the tempted is like the curveballs. Be tempted beyond that which you are able. But with the temptation, will also give a way of escape that you may be able to, and I love these words, bear it. So he says, I'm going to give you a way out of every problem and trial, temptation that comes in your life. Every situation, every curveball that is thrown at you, whether it's a good one, a lousy one, and whether it's a strike, whether it's not a strike, whatever it is that's thrown at you to get you off stride, I'm going to give you a way out. And I could never figure out why God doesn't just use the word here for that word temptation, problems. Because there's a different word in the original Greek for the word problem than there is for this word temptation. With the temptation, just go back to A, if you will, please, in the beginning. No temptation. Why didn't he just say no problems? Trials, tribulation, evil, the stuff you hate. Any of those words would have been better than this word temptation. And he uses it three times in this one verse. No temptation. The word temptation is a fascinating little word. It really says something. Here's what it means, and I'll put it up on over, but let me read it to you first before I put it up, and then I'll read it a second time. A temptation is an event that may cause you to consider a different direction. Let me put it up on the overhead. Temptation is an event that may cause you to consider a different course. So I'm at bat and I'm waiting for a fastball. And I get a curveball and my timing and everything is off and I try to adjust to it. And instead of getting the meat of the bat on the ball, I'm dribbling something down the first place line and I'm thrown out. It's something that causes you, this event that happens in your life, to cause you to consider a different course or direction. And there's all kinds of things. So here we are as Christians. Let me just show it to you like this. And we've got Jesus. We're excited for Jesus. We're singing for Jesus. Here we are praising his name, quoting his scripture, going to church, giving our tithe, doing all the right things in life, man. We are popping the ball every time it comes in. We got it made. This is it. But bang, we're hit. And then the curveball start to throw. Life starts to fail. The husband runs off, or the wife gets goofy, or the job is fired, or the children are screwed up and are they're gone or whatever it might possibly be. And then we start the direction that we were in, which was praising God, giving God the glory, and quoting his word and standing strong and going to church. Now the direction is questioned. It's an event that may cause you to consider something different than what you're doing. You may be doing and probably were the right thing when the event hit it caused you to fall away from the right thing. And that's the whole purpose. I watch these little boys and they're ready for that fastball to come in, because 90% of every pitch at this league is a fastball. You never know where it's going, but it's a fastball. And they're waiting for that fastball. And then they throw them a curveball. They just throw their bat and everything. They don't have any concept. And then they've lost their confidence. And then they start swinging at everything. And that's what happens with Christians. When temptations and pressures come, we start to do something. We start to question God. We never questioned him before. We start to doubt God. We start to say, what are you doing? Like he can't fix it? Like how come this happened? Why did this happen to me? And that's why you see so many people that used to be in church 5 years ago that aren't in church today. And I'm talking about tens of thousands of people right here at the Rock Church that aren't here today. Why? Because the temptations came and the event caused them to consider doing something different than the continuance of praising God, loving God, quoting scripture, and being hung in there. Because he who dwells doesn't mean come and go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, you got to dwell there even though the curveball's coming. Even though the results stink, even though the pain is great, even though the understanding is not there, you don't even know why it happened, you just hang in there with God. All I know is he is a faithful God. And that's what you've got to build yourself to that place. We don't do that. And he makes a statement with that in mind, thinking about that event that causes us to consider changing directions. Let's read it that way. No event has overtaken you except that which is common to man. You know what that means? It means there's nothing you have gone through that others have not gone through. But you know how bad the pain was. Pastor Jim, you don't understand how great the loss is. You don't understand what it's like to feel what I feel. I may not, but God the Father does. And he knows it. And there's nothing that you're going through ever that hasn't been done by millions of people before you. That's just what he said. And they came out on the other side banging the ball over the fence. And your call is to do the same thing. And he comes along and he makes this statement, except which is common to man. But then right in the middle of the statement, here's this crazy statement. Where's our verses? Give me my verses back up there. He says, which is common to man. And he says this, he says, but God is, where the heck did that come from? Four words out of the blue. He's telling you about how what you're going through is not a surprise to God. He understands it. You can make it. He'll give you. And then he says, but God is faithful. Okay, so as the curveball of life is coming at me and it's going to take me out of the game, I'm going, I don't know how I'm going to make it. All of a sudden, God is faithful. And if you can remember those four words, but God is faithful. That's what this is all about. When the curveball comes in life, God is faithful. I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know how I even make it through, but four words, but God is faithful. And then he says these words, he says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. Okay, go to the B, please. And he says, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. Well, wait a minute. With the temptation will also make a way of escape. In other words, you got the curveball. Here's the answer to get away from the results of the curveball. What is it? It's Jesus. God is faithful. The answer to every curveball in your life, every problem that's ever come, every disappointment, every failure of people around you and life around you, every loss there's ever been, Someone said to me, "You don't understand, Pastor Jim. I lost my children in that accident." And I said, and this person lost three people. And he says, I said, "I can never understand that. I don't know how to say anything about it. I'm so broken on the inside. I don't know what it's like to lose a child. You're right. I don't understand it. But I can tell you one, the father lost his child on that cross at Calvary. And he knows what it's like and what you're going through." And so here we find, he'll make a way of escape. Here's the way, Jesus. The way isn't getting money from your aunt to solve the problem that's financial. The answer is not your husband coming back and getting saved. The answer is not your wife coming home and loving you. The answer is not getting your kids out of the street. That's all going to happen as you get into the real answer. As you go to Jesus, then Jesus can go to your problem. But as long as you're holding the problem, it's yours. See, and that's what we don't understand. And that's why it says, cast all your cares on he that careth. Because the answer to the escape, whatever it might possibly be, his name is Jesus. I love that. I love what it says in Hebrews, the second chapter, real quick. I'm going to finish in just a few minutes. Can you give me just a little bit more? In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 18 says this, last part of the chapter. "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted." See, Jesus has had every curveball you can think of thrown at him. And he still ripped it. Right out of the park. Man, I remember one guy, I could throw him every pitch in the world, but I threw him a curveball, he couldn't hit it. But if I threw him anything else but a curveball, he'd rip it out of the park. He says, "For he has himself," Jesus, notice the capital H on the word himself, "has suffered being tempted." In other words, there was this opportunity, an event in his life, that could have caused him to take a different direction than the direction he was on, but he didn't go. "And is able to aid those who are tempted." He's able, willing, wanting to aid you in this time. And that's the answer of the way of escape. You got financial problems, the way of escape is. You don't know how you're going to make it, the way of escape is. You heard something that's derogatory, it's the way of escape is. The disappointment in life, that's the way it is. The loss of this, or loss of jobs, or loss of homes, or loss of friendships, or loss of people letting you out, whatever it might be, the answer is you got to get involved with Jesus. Jesus is the answer. The faster you get involved with abiding in the shadow of his Most High. As the faster you get into abiding in the shadow of the Most High, in his secret place, and that secret place is Jesus. Man, are you listening at all? Why can I trust Jesus? I mean, if I put my heart in Jesus, you're right there, just out of fun, I just thought of this. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, I was finished, and I actually came back and added this verse, if you will, verse in the fourth chapter, verse number 60. In fact, it's just look at it for yourself, if you will. And Hebrews 4, chapter verse 16 says, "Let us therefore boldly come," verse number 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest," that's Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, we don't have this kind of a high priest. Watch this. "Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses," are the curveball that was thrown at us in life. You see the word sympathize? The word sympathize means that we don't have a high priest that doesn't feel what you feel. That's why he was all God, we learned this last week, and he is all God and all man. He isn't half God and half man, he is all God and all man. And because he was all man and tempted at every area of his life, he knows what you go through. And he stands up for you before God the Father and says, "Father, I see their faith and I know what they're going through. Let's get some relief to them. And man, I'm telling you, that's good news. And he says, sympathize with our weakness, but in all his points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he didn't give in to the curveball. Is anybody listening? Tonight, life's going to throw you curveballs. Sometimes you're going to say, wow, enough's enough. Anybody ever been there? How about when it rains, it pours? Any Christians know what I'm talking about? Well, I thought that was bad enough. Boy, it's really coming now. It seems like there's no escape. There seems like there's no way out. It just gets worse and worse. But I got good news. It's four letters, four words. But God is faithful. And here's a couple more. And his name is Jesus. And that's what this is all about. When the curveball's thrown at you, you stay the course and hit it, it doesn't hit you. You stay the course. And the course is, if we're Christians, we're alive to Jesus. Is anybody listening tonight? Amen. So if God spoke to you tonight about something, come on, give the Lord a great big praise to the Lord, because you need to know that. And every one of us have known that and have heard that before, probably, if you've been around for a while. But you know what? We forget it. That's what I love about church. It reminds me all the time of things I forget. Did you know? Oh, yeah, I knew that. But you know what? When the curveball was thrown, I forgot to do that. But God is faithful. You know? Remember Vic? God was faithful. Do you remember that? Absolutely. Buried his wife. How many years ago was that, Vic? 16 years ago. And look at the pretty wife God gave you now. And she loves you so much too, man. That's one of the hardest times for both of us. Because, you know, I hate being a pastor because I got to go through everybody's pain and hurt. You just do. It's just the toughest job in the whole world. And I remember just dying on the inside for Vic. And I'm so happy. Every time you come to church, Vic, I see you from over there, you know. And it's just like you're like, you and your wife are like a gift from God to me. How God, he is faithful. He is a faithful God. Doesn't matter what the problem is. The question is, will you hang in there through the problem? Or will you let the problem get you out of stride and get you away from what you know is right? If God spoke to you, and I'll give the Lord a great big praise. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.